When we stop to think about the world over, we know that in reality, people are living by faith. Now, the question is, faith in what? Or faith in whom? Sometimes the faith is very personal. Sometimes it's in a community, like a church congregation. Other times it may be just a commercial kind of gathering, or national or international. But everybody, in one way or another, lives by faith. The question we have to ask is, what is our faith? In whom are we placing our faith? This is vitally important. In all aspects of life, the object of our faith determines the quality and validity of our faith. The object of our faith determines the quality and validity of our faith. Now, hold on to that as I give this little illustration. Quite a number of years ago, there was a group of botanists who went to the highlands in Scotland, and they were looking for particular flora that they were trying to find, specimens they wanted to get hold of. And so this group was marching along through the highlands of Scotland, and they came to a place. There was a cliff, and way down there was a ledge. And on the ledge there was the flora that they were interested in. But they were not strong enough or bright enough or brave enough to go down to get it. But they wanted it desperately. So there's a young lad from the community who came there. Lads are always interested in what's going on in the community. And so this group was there, and so he went there. And the young lad was with them, and they offered him a liberal amount of money if he would climb down a rope on the cliff edge, go to the ledge, grab the specimen, and bring it back up to them. So the boy went out, and he looked over the ledge, over the cliff. He looked down. He looked at the rope that they'd given him, and then he said these words, "I will go if my father holds the rope. I will go if my father holds the rope." Now, in there, there's a great message for us. First of all, the lad had complete faith in his father. He knew that his father would not let go. He was going to hold on to the rope. He trusted his father. So when we think about this, the effectiveness of our faith is always determined by the object in whom or in which our faith rests. In whom do we place our faith? The lad's faith was in his father. He could trust his father completely. If the object of our faith is worthy, our faith is strong. If the object of our faith is unworthy, our faith is weak. Now, over the past couple of days, we've heard about the United States and Israel attacking Iran. And if what we hear is correct, the Ayatollah, the spiritual leader of Iran, they used the word, he was eliminated. In other words, he was killed. Now, if this is true, I've been thinking about the Ayatollah and thinking this way, in whom, in what, did he place his faith? Islam tells us that they follow Allah. Allah is not the God of the Old Testament or the God of the New. Allah is not. They are not following the God of the Bible. In whom did he place his trust? In whom did he place his faith? He has been told through some process by his God that he is to eliminate the United States and is to eliminate Israel. Now he's dead. Now he appears before the judge of all the earth. Now he knows. Now he knows whether his faith is in the wrong party or not. We know from the word of God that it was. He was putting his faith in the wrong place. Now that's a question for you and for me. We've got to be very careful where we place our faith. The Ayatollah believes from Islam that when he dies in the cause of his country, in the cause of eliminating Israel, that he will be rewarded in a heaven all of his own, along with 70 virgins, meeting his every need. This is not what's going to happen. He has ended up in hell and will be there for all eternity. Your faith, my faith. When we look at this from a Christian perspective, we need to remember this. The living Word and the written word. The living word is Jesus, and the written word is the Bible. That's where we place our faith, in Jesus. Let us hear from the Word of God as we read in Romans chapter 10. This is a very powerful passage of Scripture. There are a number of verses in this passage of Scripture that ought to be highlighted in your Bible. However, let us hear the Word of God. It's on page 1120 if you're looking at the Pew Bible and the words are on the screen. Brothers, now whenever Paul writes brothers, he's talking about believers. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Look at this. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses describes it in this way. The righteous that is by the law, the man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say to in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith we are proclaiming. Hear this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I asked, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just a little note. Paul's letter to the Romans is a fabulous piece of theology. And as is Paul's habit, he usually preaches theology in the first part of his letters, and then he gives some practical ideas in the second part. Now, in the book of Romans, it's slightly different. The first eight chapters are heavy in theology. And then the last chapters are very practical. But chapters 9, 10, and 11 are chapters that are specifically geared to the people of Israel. The people of Israel, many people think they are lost and think that the church has replaced Israel. Not so. God had promises for Israel, still has promises for Israel, and he has promises for the church. So Romans 9, 10, and 11 are sort of like a codicil to a will. There's something that had been added to the full book of Romans, and it's directly written for the people of Israel. However, these words stand out for us this morning. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Heard through the word of Christ. This morning, the Lord willing, we shall examine the advent of supernatural faith and the activity of supernatural faith. Remember this, the faith that you and I have in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a supernatural gift. Hold on to that thought. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our God, our Redeemer, our Savior. Amen. The advent of a supernatural faith. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is careful to show that faith in its final analysis is the gift of God. And I draw attention to two vitally important passages of Scripture that we find in the book of Ephesians. And it is this: for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. Now, I would like to take that and try and take it apart and put it back together again. But keep this in mind. It is by grace you have been saved. And the Scripture says, through faith, not because of something that you have done, it is the gift of God, not of works. Because think about it. If it were of works, we'd be bragging when we got there, I did more than you did. I paid more than you paid. I did more good things than you did. No, it's not by works. We don't deserve it. It's by a gift that God gives through faith to all who put their trust in Jesus. The emphasis that we as humans cannot save ourselves, it's not earned, it's not deserved. We do not deserve a gift. Now think about it. If somebody wants to give a gift, it's because in their hearts they want to give the gift. It's not because someone has earned it. No, it's because the giver wants to give the gift. And here God the Father wants to give a gift to everyone. And that gift is putting their trust in Jesus. And when we do, then we have the gift of eternal life. It's putting our complete trust in Him, orchestrated by God. He determines who's going to place their trust in their Son, in His Son, Jesus. And those who do, God gives the gift of salvation. And when we have the gift of salvation, we know that our present is secure and our eternity is secure. The gift of salvation means that we will spend eternity with God, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. It means that we will not spend eternity in hell. I think the Ayatollah is in hell today. He will know where he is. He know that he will now know he placed his trust in the wrong person. And there are millions out there who have followed his leading. They are being led astray. They don't think they are. They think we are led astray. But according to the word of God, they have been and are being led astray. All of this calls for the heralding of the gospel and the hearing of the gospel. The heralding, the proclaiming, the giving, the hearing of the gospel, the receiving. So it's got to be given and it's got to be received. Faith comes from hearing the message, the Scripture says. Whether this message, the gospel, is conveyed through the printed word, like the Bible or a pamphlet of some nature, communicated in personal conversation, one person with another, we all ought to take opportunities to share our faith with other people, or articulated from the pulpit or from a platform, makes no difference as long as the gospel is preached. Our Heavenly Father has ordained that the gospel must be preached and that it should go into all the earth to every people. This world is waiting to hear the gospel message. They have many other messages in their heart, and they're coming into their mind through their ears and through their eyes, but they are longing to hear the gospel message. On one occasion many years ago, a missionary went to Portuguese West Africa. This was a good number of years ago. And he preached the gospel to the tribe. And after preaching the gospel, the chief came to him and he said, "This is what we have been waiting for. Why has it taken you so long to reach us?" "Now hear this," he said, "your message has taken away our fear and given us a faith." Taken away our fear and given us a faith. There are millions of people in this world who are living by fear. They do not know what's going to happen next. Some in our own country, some in our own community. There are millions of people. What they need to hear is the gospel message. Hear it by coming to church, or hear it because the church is out there speaking to them. The only solution for them. It's like this tribe in Portuguese West Africa. They need to hear the gospel message. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that is going to alleviate the fear that they have in their heart. Knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord, that's the gospel message. The present day presenting of the gospel, Paul refers to it as the foolishness of preaching, is of sheer necessity. And then Paul said this, "Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." In a sense, every Christian should have that embedded in our heart and soul and mind. Woe to me if we do not preach, if we do not share the gospel with others. All this is accomplished through two major actions. The first one is the heralding, the proclaiming, the giving of the gospel. And secondly is the hearing or the receiving of the gospel. The gospel must not only be heralded, but it also must be heard. In his ministry, our blessed Lord often focused attention on teaching and preaching with these words, "He who has ears, let him hear." And then Jesus said, "Those who hear the voice of the Son of God are those who will live." Live eternally. Live in the present, a life that is not possible without Jesus. So the advent of a supernatural faith comes through the heralding and the hearing of the gospel. That is the advent of supernatural faith. You and I, if we placed our trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have within us a supernatural faith. It's not something that we earned or deserved. It's something that we have placed our trust in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now let's examine the activity of supernatural faith. These words, "Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." Through the word of Christ. This shows that the activity of a supernatural faith is twofold. Number one, it levels everyone to the conditions of the gospel. And number two, it leads everyone to the Christ of the gospel. How important this is. It levels everyone to the conditions of the gospel. Hear the word of the Lord. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon him. All who call upon him. Here's some interesting observations. The advantages of intellect or opportunity or substance do not operate in the realm of faith. Faith places everyone in the same position receiving the grace of God. Now hear what it says. Faith minimizes man's merit, eliminates it actually, and it magnifies God's mercy. God's grace and God's mercy. God gives us grace and mercy. Grace, he gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy, he doesn't give us what we do deserve. So this is the gospel message. This all comes from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Look at it this way. Now, you're not going to see the words on the screen. Think about this. If our salvation is based on our race, what happens to those who are of a lesser race? Now, I don't believe in greater races and lower races, but there are thousands of people throughout the world that do. They believe they've been born into a race, and it's important where they are, and everybody else is in a lower race. So what happens to them? Then we have this question. If our salvation is based on our riches, what happens to those who can't afford the price? If our salvation is based on our rank, whatever that is, what happens to those people of a lower or lesser rank? If our salvation is based on our education, what happens to those who have no academic qualifications? If our salvation is based on our religion, what would happen to those whose religious ideas are different than ours? Now, let me make a distinction here. There is religion, and often people on a form will be asked the question, what is your religion? And some people put in Baptist, some people put in Christian or whatever. But remember this, religion, by definition, is when mankind is trying to reach up and work their way toward God. But Christianity is where God reaches down and takes us up to be with him. There's a difference between religion, looking up and working up to get into God's good graces and his presence, to Jesus reaching down from heaven and grabbing you by the hand and lifting you out of the miry pit and crowning your life with love and compassion with Jesus. A great difference. The truth of the matter is, our salvation does not depend on any of the above. God sweeps all these things aside and levels every person to the foot of the cross. God has designed the matter of salvation in such a way that every person in the entire world can receive his gift of salvation. It's simply a matter of belief. Think about it. A lame person might not be able to do much or visit the sick, but he or she can believe. A blind person has restrictions, but he or she can believe. A deaf person can believe. A dying person can believe. And there are people who are near death that sometimes put their trust in him. The activity of a supernatural faith is twofold. It levels everyone to the conditions of the gospel, and it leads everyone to the Christ of the gospel. The gospel message is leading people to Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, and he's coming back again for his church. The scripture we read this morning, it says, everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. Did you notice that? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. The fact of the matter is, we cannot read the scriptures or hear the gospel preached without being drawn to the eternal fact and central fact and truth. The figure of divine revelation is none other than Jesus. He and he alone is the Savior of the world. We read these words, excuse me. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. I'm going to read it again. Allow it to be absorbed. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we may be saved. There are people, and perhaps you know some of them, maybe even you were at some point, that you marvel at the simplicity of the gospel. But keep this in mind. God designed it. It's God's gospel. It's God's design. It's God's determination. All of these things are orchestrated by God. All we need to do is receive and believe. Now, you may well be familiar with these two acrostics, but we'll have them on the screen for you. Faith, F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I take him. Now, that's an amazing acrostic. Forsaking all, I take him. I'm not going to put my trust in another person. I'm not going to put my trust in a denomination. I'm not going to put my trust in a minister or a priest. I'm going to put my trust in him. Forsaking all, everyone else, everything else, I take him. And the second one is grace, G-R-A-C-E. God's riches, all the riches of heaven at Christ's expense. Jesus paid for it on the cross for you and for me. There's yet another acrostic which I didn't put on the board, and it's the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. But those are good things to keep in mind for us. The acrostics help us keep it in mind. This morning we observe this, the advent of supernatural faith. It includes both heralding, proclaiming, and hearing, receiving. And we've observed the activity of supernatural faith, which includes leveling. We're all on the same level. No class distinction. We are all where we are at the foot of cross. And leading everyone to the gospel of Jesus Christ. May all who hear the sound of my voice be assured that completely trusting Jesus as Savior and Lord leads to life everlasting. You are saved now and for all eternity. Father, we offer praise unto you, and we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel message. We know that everyone can hear and everyone can believe. We heard in your word that everyone who believes and puts their trust in Jesus as Savior is saved. For this, O Lord, we give you thanks. And Holy Spirit, I ask you this morning that is anyone in our midst today who has not given their life to you, that you will knock so loudly on the door of their heart, the door of their mind, that they will give their life to you. We ask this in our Savior's name. Amen.